Blog Talk Radio.
January 17th, 2014, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy day to you. And it's the weekend, too. Woo-hoo. I hope you've had a great day already and that you've got some great stuff, fun stuff planned, whether it is work or play for the weekend. I just believe you have to make it your must to have some enjoy time. And I mean enjoy, I-N-J-O-Y. I-N-J-O-Y. Make some time for some happy, joyful stuff for yourself, with your family, friends, or whatever. Choose to. Give yourself permission to. Schedule in some time to. Enjoy, E-N-J-O-Y, some enjoy time, I-N-J-O-Y. Make it happen. Well, what am I up to today? Well, I'll tell you. Looks like I have messed around, and yes, this is a play on words. I've messed around and stepped in a little proverbial dog poop. Yes, I hear that I'm in a little trouble with a certain dog and maybe some of his pals, too. I don't know. We'll see. I heard that he has a bone to pick with me, so I am really, really wondering, you know, what's up with that. It seems that I made some comments that offended Bernie and didn't make certain other comments that he felt were of critical importance. And Bernie, if you remember from yesterday, is the canine pal of expert professional dog trainer Ophelia Bunyakanon. Well, at the end of the show, Bernie spoke up in his canine voice, some nice gruff barking, which I thought was a shout-out, and perhaps some praise for Ophelia's great job during the interview, but it turns out he was upset trying to get a word in before we closed. Well, my bad, Bernie. I'm a little slow on my doggy ease these days, but I thank Ophelia for her expert understanding of what you have to say. So I guess you really are upset that I place such emphasis on the fact that dogs are really animals and not humans like most people think. Okay, so I've got Ophelia Bunyakanon on the line, who is going to be Bernie's mouthpiece today. So, Ophelia, what is up with that? What's going on?
Silver, he is shaking his head right now.
Oh, God. I'm in trouble.
He is still upset. Okay, so he cannot believe that you thought that he's an animal. He told me he wanted to remind you that he is a human in a dog suit. And
well, I know that's his motto, but, you know.
That's his motto. And he's trying to change the world. But he's upset because he really wants you to know that he is a human in a dog suit because he and I were supposedly married in our past life.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, and but I left him because he was a man. And
oh, God. This is crazy.
So wanted to let everyone know that he came back to this life as a dog because he knew that if he came back as a dog that I would never, ever leave him and could not ask for a divorce. So that's his story.
That's the problem. And he's sticking with it, I'm sure. Oh, my goodness.
He is totally
sticking
with it.
Well, who knew? Who knew? Well, I won't remind him that a certain expert professional dog trainer kind of agreed that maybe we should come to that reality. But I won't remind everybody of that. We're going to let Bernie live in his world of being a human in a dog suit.
Okay.
It's okay, Bernie. I get it. I apologize. I will keep that in mind as I continue to follow your very awesome, awesome posts on Facebook. Consider me your friend, and I promise I won't go there again. I hear you loud and clear.
He's still shaking his head, Silver.
Oh,
he's not an easy one. He's a little stubborn. And
listen.
He said he'll sit on it. Maybe a few packages of milk bones might convince him that you're being sincere.
All right. Well, I think I can work that out. I really think that I can work that out.
Okay.
A few doggy bones.
Cool.
We'll be back. We'll be cool with each other again.
Okay. Yeah. And I'll talk to him a little bit more, and he'll believe that you're being sincere.
Okay. Well, I apologize to all of the canines who I may have offended yesterday with my comment. Of course, you are entitled to believe that you are a human in a doggy suit anytime you wish. My bad. I apologize. I will see dogs differently from this day forward. I promise.
Oh, God, Silver, that's too funny.
Okay. I know, but, you know, I understand, too. Y'all also shared with me that he felt there were a couple of things that we overlooked in particular regard to him being a rescue dog, and people who have rescue dogs, of course, have a certain kind of compassion for these particular dogs. But he said there's some things you need to know because sometimes they're perceived as, behavior issues, if you will, but he said that he wanted people to know that some of these personality-type behavior problems, such as being hyper or shy or, you know, being too aggressive, those are things that can be common when you're bringing a dog into a new home, and that you, as his human, were going to explain to us some of those things that we need to be aware of.
Yes.
And how to remedy that.
Okay. Well, first of all, he wanted everyone to know that there's many good reasons, very good reasons to adopt or rescue a dog. And number one, you're saving a life. You know, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
there's about 2 to 3 million dogs and cats euthanized each year. And you're giving that dog
horrible.
Or that cat, I know, I hate that number, and so does Bernie. And he could have been one of those. He had, like I said yesterday, he had one day left before they were going to put him down.
Mm-hmm.
You're saving their life, and you're giving them a second chance, you know? And I think a lot of people can relate to that because a lot of us as humans, we've been dying to have someone give us a second chance. Life's not easy, and things happen, and we need someone to rescue us. And Bernie's so thankful that I rescued him, but in fact, actually, he rescued me more than I rescued him. So
yes.
That's the first reason. The second reason is there are a lot of, you know, myths out there that if you adopt a pet, they'll be unhealthy. Actually, most shelters require the dogs to be vaccinated. They take really good care of them. They have them spayed or neutered. At each shelter, there are many people who provide them love and care every single day. Unfortunately, there's so much overpopulation that the bad thing about many shelters are they are kill shelters because they can only hold so many dogs or cats, and they have to euthanize them. So, but while they are in there, they're being taken care of very well. The third reason to adopt a pet is you'll save money. If you go to a breeder or you go to a pet store, God forbid, you're spending a lot of money, sometimes thousands. And a lot of people go to breeders or pet stores to get a purebred dog or, you know, one of those fancy dogs that no one else has in the world, and just for status, and you're paying thousands of dollars. So at a shelter, you can get most dogs or cats for under a couple hundred dollars. The fourth reason to adopt is you'll feel good. You'll feel good that you saved a life. So in a selfish way, when you adopt a pet, any decent human being will come home and live their life feeling like they saved a life. It's going to give you confidence in yourself that you actually, if you have no other purpose in the world, you're going to feel like you had the purpose of giving to a soul, you know, saving that soul's life. You're going to feel like a good, good, good human being. That's probably one of the best reasons for a lot of people to adopt. The fifth reason, as I mentioned earlier, is the puppy mills and the pet stores. If you adopt, you will not be supporting these puppy mills and these pet stores. A lot of people by now know that these dog breeding facilities, puppy mills, they put profit above the welfare of the dogs. And they have these dogs in the worst, shockingly poor conditions with improper medical care, and they use the same dog over and over again to breed and keep them in these small cages where they can't move. And then when they're done breeding that dog over and over again, they simply discard that dog and kill it or abandon it or sold at an auction. It's horrible. So if those five reasons aren't enough to adopt a dog, I'm not sure what, you know, what else I can say. And
well,
in my
Go ahead. I can certainly see why Bernie would have come to his own defense regarding all of those particular issues, my goodness. And that's why I'm sure he felt it needed fuller explanation, because I think when the average one of us hears about a rescue dog, we just kind of think, no, I want to go look for a, you know, a puppy in the regular places that people will typically go for them. So, Bernie, check with him, Ophelia, before we go on, to see if that was enough of emphasis on that, and we'll go to his next concern.
Bernie? Oh, no, he's chasing the cat.
Okay.
And I'm the only one who thinks this is important now. Okay, here he is. Bernie just told me that another reason I forgot, he's a little upset with this, is so many dogs, specifically from these shelters, have so much personality. Because they've been lonely, because they've been rejected by some families and dropped off at the shelter, they know loneliness. They know what it is truly to be unhappy and not have companionship. So when you rescue them, you choose them, they don't take that for granted. And their personality comes out like never before. They're probably, out of the thousands upon thousands of dogs I've trained, they're, number one, the easiest to train. Number two, they're extra eager to please. Extra eager to please the humans. And number three, their personality really shines. So Bernie wants everyone to know that, you know, now his personality is shining because I gave him that second chance, and he doesn't take it for granted.
That's really amazing. Listen, he mentioned, and you're right on track with what I was going to say he was questioning next, it is for us to look at the particular temperaments with a lot more knowledge. We look with sensitivity, but not necessarily with knowledge when a dog may be hyper or shy or too aggressive, or maybe you can see that there's some anxiety with that dog. And Bernie thought we should know ways to respond to that with knowledge and not just sensitivity. So what did you guys say about that?
I had a long talk with Bernie about his own issues when I first got him, and some of his buddies at the shelter, some of his homies. Sorry. Well, you know, he called them his homies. He had some homies at the shelter. But they all confessed that they had some issues. And with Bernie, he was quite shy. And with the other ones, one of his friends had separation anxiety. Someone else was a little aggressive, had an attitude problem. And so, we talked about that last night, and Bernie and I came up with, you know, the best way to inform people on how to deal with that. So when you bring home a dog, and let's just take it a step at a time. Let's say with Bernie, a shy dog. Shy dogs, it can be many things. It can be they were abused. It could be they were neglected. It could be they were actually over-coddled. So those are some of the reasons why a dog will be shy. Or it could just be part of their temperament, but most dogs, you can help them become more well-balanced. So you take a shy dog, the way you help them overcome that is through socialization. You slowly, gradually praise them for just sniffing different objects, for going outside, and the moment they look calm, even a millisecond, if they're walking outside and they look calm, you praise them. If a person's walking down the street, you praise them for looking calm. What people tend to do is if someone's walking down the street or something scares the dog, the first thing people like to do is say, "It's okay, honey, it's okay." And they pick up the dog, or they hold the dog, or they pet the dog so much to try to reassure them. But what they're actually doing is reinforcing the fear. They're saying, "It's okay that right now in this moment you're afraid." So instead of picking up the dog, which is rewarding the dog, petting the dog when they're scared, which is rewarding them for that behavior of being fearful, what you want to do is try to redirect them, get them to not think about what they were just afraid of. And in a very happy voice and confident with your calm, assertive energy, not a pitying energy like, "Oh, God, I feel so sorry for my dog. He was abused," or blah, blah, blah. You want to be calm and say, "Look, check it out. Check it out. Check out that person down the street." And if the dog looks at that person, the millisecond he shows confidence, you praise him for that behavior. So that's, does that make sense to
that's
you?
That's excellent. Yes, that's excellent. That's excellent. And what about the dogs that are hyper and aggressive? Did you have any of those issues? Did Bernie talk about that with you at all? Did he say anything about those particular things?
Yes, and it's all quite similar. With aggressive dogs, his one homie who was really aggressive, this particular dog was fear aggressive. So instead of being just shy, his defense mechanism was to be shy and fight back. So his defense drive kicked in. And with that particular dog, he was fearful because of the same over-coddling from his owner. So when he was with his past owner and someone would come approach him, the owner would actually tense up with the leash out of fear that his dog was going to bite the other dog. And so that dog that's fearful also feels the tense energy from the owner and felt like something's wrong. So he actually now wanted to protect his owner and became aggressive. So what you do with a dog that's, let's say, fear aggressive with people or with dogs, with other dogs, when a person or a dog is approaching and your dog, you see, is starting to get a little bit fearful, try to redirect, walk around and say, hey, check it out, say hello. And your dog will look at the person or the dog and probably just be calm for that second because you had that happy voice. And you praise or give that dog a treat for being calm and well-balanced. And you gradually do that as people come closer and as dogs come closer, and you don't have the leash tight. It's all about your energy and the praise and the timing of it. And you will slowly have a dog that's more well-balanced and know that the world is okay around him and not have to defend himself. But the main thing with aggressive dogs is the owners really have to establish themselves as pack leaders. And they have to have the calm, assertive energy. Then the dogs will trust the owner and trust the command that, hey, go check out that person, go say hello, go sniff that dog, or go sniff this, or go sniff that. And that dog will learn to feel secure and not have to defend itself. And does that make sense?
Is hyperactivity? Yeah, absolutely. do you handle hyperactivity in the same way? I'm kind of thinking being aggressive and hyperactivity are kind of different.
They are different. With hyperactive dogs, going back to Bernie, one of his other friends at the shelter, he couldn't stop jumping up and down. He couldn't stop chasing the other dogs around. He had a high prey drive. He had high energy. He was also, Bernie said, he was one of the smartest dogs at the shelter. And a lot of very smart dogs actually are very hyper. They need the mental and physical stimulation. They need the exercise. They need the leadership. They need someone to channel that energy into giving them a job, giving them a structure, giving them things to do. So with hyper dogs, all you need to do usually, for me, from my experience, because I've trained probably mostly hyper dogs over the shy dogs and the aggressive dogs, and I've had great success. So what I usually do when I go into a home is I give them focus exercises. All I do is I put them on a leash, walk them around in a figure eight, praise them for walking nicely, have them sit and wait or sit and stay intermittently while we're doing the figure eights. And just from that few minutes of giving them something to think about besides jumping up and down and trying to chew and bark and dig, just from channeling all that excess energy into commands changes the dog just like that. So owners with hyperactive dogs, if they can just three times a day, that's all I ask, is have them three times a day for 5 minutes. Put that dog on a leash. Number one, try to walk them at least once or twice a day and maybe go to the park. I know everyone's busy, but try to go to the park a few times a week. But the worst-case scenario, let's say you can't even walk your dog every day or you can't go to the park, put your dog on the leash in your house and 5 minutes, three times a day, have them do sits and stays, or sits and downs. And just that channeling of that mental energy will calm your dog down, along with knowing how to speak to your dog as a leader and give it schedule and structure as a leader, which that's a whole nother subject too, because I told you yesterday about the three different tones. But go ahead.
Yes. Well, I sure hope that we're making Bernie happier with this information. And he mentioned something else you said about anxiety. What does anxiety look like in a dog?
Anxiety in a dog can be pacing back and forth, panting. You know, they're panting not from, you know, having just been outside, but they're laying there panting and with their eyes wide open and their ears back and their tails down. You don't even have to be a dog lover or a dog expert to be able to instinctively look at this soul sitting on the ground looking uncomfortable. So another way you can tell if a dog is anxious is if they have excess drooling or if they actually shut down like humans do, where all they want to do is sleep. They just want to shut themselves out from the world because they're anxious and possibly depressed. So if you want to hear how to deal with the anxious dog, I can tell you that too. I'm not sure how much time we have. Okay.
Yes, we've got time.
Okay. I don't want to sound so vague, but it's really simple. The anxious dog, he encompasses everything. That dog can also become shy. At any given moment, that dog can also become aggressive. Or at any given moment, that dog can become hyper. So what your goal is to have a dog that's well-balanced. And instead of focusing so much on the fact that, oh, my gosh, my dog is anxious or my dog is hyper or my dog, what people should do is focus on what can I do each and every day to create a well-balanced dog, no matter what their issue is, no matter what label we give them. You have to put in place the right foundation, and everything else will fall into place. And like I said yesterday, the right foundation is the right structure, knowing the right tones, knowing that if your dog, whether or not your dog needs exercise every day, a few times a day, giving it the mental, physical stimulation that it needs. And so when you're doing all those things, when you're giving it the proper nutrition, the proper exercise, and you're being that pack leader, your dog becomes secure in himself and knows that he has someone to follow, not just someone who's feeling sorry for him. Think about humans. We feel safe when we have a leader. And so in that safety, we become more secure. Same with dogs. So with a leader, a strong leader who's knowledgeable about their dogs and what they need, that dog will become less anxious.
Can you tell us if separation anxiety is handled similarly? And first of all, give us a short definition of what the separation anxiety looks like and how do you handle that if it is different?
Okay. Separation anxiety, with many dogs, they can be just fine in every other aspect of their life, except when you leave the house. So you have a healthy, happy, seemingly well-adjusted dog in every aspect, but when you leave, that dog will start digging or barking. The neighbors, call the police, and that's how you find out that your dog is barking all day long, or you come home and you see that your curtains are ripped down and your couches are ripped apart, or it's going potty because, it's freaking out that you're gone. Most dogs who have that type of separation anxiety, they have owners who make a really big deal out of when they come home and when they leave. And this is the mistake my family made when I was growing up. We loved our dogs, and we really thought our dog was like a person. So we would hug and hug the dog and say, Mommy and Daddy and Ophie will be back home 8 hours from now, and we're so sorry. We love you. Please know that we love you. And, oh, God, we're so sorry. We have to leave you here for so long. So that dog felt that negative energy. And when we came home, we would make a big deal. Like, oh, we're finally home. And we would give him all kinds of treats and hug him for hours. That kind of behavior shows the dog that there's something wrong when you leave, and he's being rewarded for being excessively excited when you come back. If you leave the house, don't make a big deal. Just say, I'll be back. I'll be back soon. You know, watch the house for us. Take care of the house. When you come home, give it 5 minutes before, you know, give it 5 minutes for everyone to settle down, and then reward that dog for being calm and submissive, not for being hyper and anxious.
Great. So that, great information.
That will help. That will help most of the separation anxiety.
That is great information. Well, I am hoping I am bridging a wonderful gap. I mean, since after all, I thought that I was going to actually be talking to Bernie, but he let you know that he was still a little bit too much in his zone to talk, and he wanted you to do the talking. So I get that. I get that, and I'm cool. I am so okay because you're handling all of the business. That's all that really matters. I know there was one other thing that was on his mind, and that's how the care of his god sister is being handled, because you said he just wanted everybody to know how awesome you are and how well you are taking care of Kayla. So you want to wrap it up talking about her. We talked about her just briefly on the top of yesterday's show, and I shared my sympathy, but Bernie seems to think we need to share just a little bit about that tender, loving care and how dogs that may be experiencing some severe illnesses may need a special kind of attention and care.
Okay. Kaza, she was a retired racing greyhound, and she found me 11 years ago. She's now 14 years old. She's black and white. She's the love of my life, Miss Kaza. Bernie, don't get mad. It's different. Bernie's looking at me like, what?
I know. He really has issues in the last couple of days. I just got to say
I know.
You got to work on getting him calmed down after the show. I mean, I'm gonna hook him up with some doggy treats. You know, just do my due diligence in this, but I mean, come on, Bernie, forgiveness.
Silver,
come on.
Silver, he's got us trained. I'm gonna have to reevaluate my own skills this week, and you know, it's always a learning process. No matter how great you are at what you do, you can always learn more. And Bernie's given me that challenge, like, you know, I can even do better, but loves. But okay, so back to my beloved Kaza. She, like I told you earlier today, she has traveled with me around the United States. She has seen the oceans and the mountains and the rivers and the woods, and just she's lived such a wonderful life. And she used to every day run her little race in the backyard. I would say, KG, golden moment, you got to chase the rabbit. And that would, her racing name was KG Golden Moment. So just from saying her name and saying the word rabbit, she would start her race. And the image of her running so gracefully and beautifully, it brings so much joy to me. So now to see her, because she's sick with osteosarcoma, it's a bone cancer, to see her not being able to walk well, or just a couple weeks ago, she wasn't able to walk at all. We had to help her outside to walk and go to the bathroom and go to her water bowl. That was very difficult. But I found a natural remedy that's helping her right now. So it's causing, it's helping her feel comfort and no more pain. And just the past couple days, she's been hopping up on her own and galloping outside to go to the bathroom and standing up while eating instead of laying down. So I've spent nights, for 2 months now, I have probably slept an average of 2 to 3 hours a night. I've been holding her and coddling her and kissing her and talking to her and making sure she's okay. And it's been a rough journey this past couple months since we found out she has cancer, but she knows that she's loved, and I know she loves me, and we'll meet again. When it's her time, she'll let me know, and we'll do what we have to do, and we'll meet again. But our memories and our love for each other will last forever.
Yes.
I'm
I hear that you're getting very emotional. Well, I just wanted you to share one more thing about it,
okay,
because we talked earlier today, and I truly admire, and I know you're tearful, and that's okay, of course.
Okay.
But you showed an incredible strength to me as you spoke about knowing that there is a possibility that she may not be with you a lot longer. And the reason I bring that up, Ophelia, is this. I think your courage and your strength can help a lot of other people who will hear that. You know, that's the way that it works. When we hear how courageously other people can get through things, it makes us stronger at handling our own issues. Not easier necessarily when it's something so special like this, but I wanted you to just maybe offer a couple of words of encouragement to people who are going through something similar.
Okay, well, other people who are going through this, I obviously feel for them deeply. It is one of the most difficult things because they are like your children. They are like your baby. You share a bond like nothing else. They're here for a short time, but it's such a wonderful time. And especially if others like myself have dogs that are sick right now and you're slowly, gradually grieving and watching them each day get more sick, I think other people like myself are noticing that their dogs are becoming more affectionate than ever. And they're becoming more in tune with you. There's a telepathy between humans and their dogs. And I've noticed it becomes stronger. You notice their every gesture, their every move, and the dogs can read your body language, and they know, I promise you, they know more than ever before how much you love them. And you don't even have to speak to them if you don't want that. Your dog, at this time when they're sick, they are the most connected with you. And that is the one positive. It's a feeling I never knew I could have. The bond becomes so strong. And I don't know what people believe in, what their faith is in, but I know for a fact that when their dog leaves their body, when it's that time, their spirit will be with you forever. I mean, think about how you can sense them and how your dog can sense you. When they leave, when their physical being leaves, that connection, you guys, will not leave. They're going to be angels at your feet even when they're gone.
That's beautiful.
Just like,
Ophelia, thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome.
You.
Don't
That's
cry.
Beautiful. I didn't say don't cry. But
I was talking to myself. I was talking to myself.
I want to thank you for such a beautiful time today on the phone, again, on the radio waves, to share wonderful information and to see if we can, you know, soothe Bernie's disappointment, I guess is the best way to put it, with some things that were handled. And again, Bernie, my bad. I'm sorry. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to send you a little something. So make sure we're good going forward. So I want to thank you again for taking the time and for being Bernie's mouthpiece today. And I'm going to look forward, as I said yesterday. Didn't know at that point it would be this soon, but it was definitely something that we needed to do. But I wanted to thank you. I'll look forward to having you on again, but definitely keeping in touch with you.
In 30 said goodbye. Did you hear that?
I did.
Did you hear?
Does that mean we're okay? Does that mean we're okay?
But he said, girl, we're good now. I can tell you're
okay.
Awesome.
Okay, I love it. All right, well, we're going to wrap it on that. I'm not going to say anything else, but thank you, Bernie.
Oh,
and you, Ophelia,
awesome.
You are such a gem. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You have a blessed day.
You too, Silver. Everyone have a blessed
Alrighty.
Day. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, you
bye,
too.
Silver.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye. You too. Bye.
I thank all of you, Foxology listeners. Wasn't that great fun? Of course, you know we were just having the best fun with that whole issue, but I couldn't resist going there. I thought it would be a wonderful, wonderful way to handle today's show, and I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you had a lot of fun, too. I'm going to bid you a wonderful day and an awesome weekend. Check out Foxology coming up on Monday. Going to be another great show. I'll post that information online for you, so keep your eyes peeled, yo. I'll talk to you again real soon. Make it a great day. Thanks for listening.